The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
All right, we are back. What's going on? My name is Seth Kushner with Gary Cantrell, the real wrestling man of this podcast. What's up, Gary?
Hey, man, it's been a great week. How's your week been?
It's been good. I feel like we haven't done this in a very long time, but we've done it every single week. I don't know. It just seems like there's been so much going on in the real world that I haven't had so much time to focus on wrestling, but I always get dialed in at around a pay-per-view.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I know we got Backlash, and I know it's in France, right?
Yeah, it's in Paris.
It's in Paris. It's at 1 o'clock, in America for,
our
Eastern
time. I love it.
It's perfect. It's perfect. It doesn't get any better than that. I love when they used to have the pay-per-views in the middle of the night. That was always fun, too. Now, I went and I looked at the card the other day, Gary, because I was like, what do we have on our hands right here? I'm a little underwhelmed at this. I feel like, did they skip the Elimination Chamber?
Or did they have that? That was in Australia.
Oh, so they did have the Elimination Chamber, okay? Because
yeah.
it still feels like this is the first one after WrestleMania. So what are you looking forward to? I am looking forward to Bianca and Jade possibly winning the tag team championships.
Yes.
I could see that. That's what I could see that happening. Them going on a run, and then obviously Jade turning on Bianca at some point down the road is really with the whole thing. I love them together right now. What are you looking forward to?
I mean, I think number one for me would be Cody and AJ, but I agree. I think real quick, I would say like the Bianca and Jade winning the titles. I could totally see them winning that. That's an easy decision to make for me. And then you take them to like, let's say SummerSlam, where like Jade turns on Bianca maybe somewhere in the month of July, and then you start warming up for SummerSlam. I think that'd be great. But as far as like the main attraction for me, hands down, it's AJ and Cody. This match is so intriguing for a number of reasons. Just I think their styles are going to go very well together. And I think that you have the history. They were both Bullet Club. I'm hoping that they bring that up maybe on the Go Home show tomorrow. We're recording this on Thursday for people listening. So I would love to see what these guys can do. And I hope they get a lot of time.
Do you think this is going to be like, here's what's hard for me. Is that that Cody isn't dropping the title.
Yeah.
So it's like these guys could have a great wrestling match. Dave Meltzer, he could give them 5 stars, whatever the hell that means. But we know what's going to happen. Is there anything, are there rumors of people coming back? Is anything going to happen? This is probably a big reach. I saw Brock Lesnar is still listed as a free agent on the WWE's website.
He is.
Like, could this be in play? Because I just... At the end of this match, I feel like AJ Styles just shakes Cody Rhodes' hand and then something happens after that,
Yeah, I think they will have what I believe to be about a 30-minute, as the kids say, a 30-minute banger. I think that they're going to go out there and put on literally the best match you can imagine. But to your point, I think it would be super strong. And it doesn't have to be Brock Lesnar necessarily because I still believe it's still early to bring him back. I know he wasn't officially named as, in that case, the Janelle Grant case, but I still feel like it would be a little too early. But I do like the idea that you bring up of somebody coming out, like show me what's next. Give me this incredible match that has this incredible ending. The guys can shake hands. And then I want to know who's coming next. Show me immediately. Let's not wait for Raw. Raw can be when they or SmackDown, because Cody's on SmackDown. They can wait for that to talk to each other. I want to see somebody come out and make a statement.
Could this be a Drew McIntyre situation? Could he enter himself into the picture? Or is he solely involved with CM Punk and Damian Priest right now?
I think he's going to stay on that side of the aisle personally. So as far as like, I mean, we just had the draft, which I know that we'll get into, but let me see somebody come in and make a statement. I wouldn't go back to like the Bloodline, for instance. I wouldn't go there like immediately because we just saw all that. And even though it's Tama Tonga and you know, all that, it's a new guy, but I wouldn't go to that right away. I'd stay away from like the Bloodline stuff and just find somebody else that could take us for another month or two, in other words.
I just feel like Cody needs like a real vicious heel. And I know he already did his program with Brock Lesnar when everybody thought he was going to win. You know, I don't think that Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles are going to be having a program where they wrestle, you know, the next three pay-per-views together. I don't see it being one of those things at all, because that's just jobbing AJ Styles out, especially when we don't know how much longer he's going to be around. So to me, it's just tough when you know the ending, which I feel like most people do. That's why I feel like with the way WWE's been lately, they hit us left and right. Like we come away from almost every main pay-per-view, we're like, holy shit, these keep getting better and better. I don't see this one letting us down. I guess it'd be odd to sit around and guess what the surprise is. You know, I don't know if CM Punk comes out and wants to get involved. I don't know how close he is to returning. You know, I have no idea, but it just seems like they're just leaving a lot of main attractions off the Backlash card this weekend.
I'll tell you this. I mean, I will say, just for the world title real quick, and we can talk about some of the other matches. Here, I'll throw out a name that I don't think anybody's thinking of, and that would be Andrade. That guy is like money all around. He's a really talented guy. He did a lot of cool stuff in AEW. He did a lot of cool stuff in NXT. He wasn't really used very well in SmackDown before he left and went to AEW, but I think he's a guy that has a lot of talent, and I think that he is a guy that you can put in that kind of feud where we know he's not going to win, but much like AJ, at least it'll be a really well-competed match. They can do all the craziest moves in the world and have people talking, and then Cody can just move on to whoever after that.
When did he come back at WrestleMania? When was it? Because I remember Andrade came and he just kicked everybody's ass and he looked great. Maybe it was Royal Rumble. Maybe it was that long ago. But I feel like I saw him and I was like, wow, this is not the guy that was in WWE last time.
No, it was a little after the Rumble, because I think everybody was anticipating that he would be in the Rumble and he wasn't. So I want to say it was like maybe 2 or 3 weeks thereafter. But yeah, dude, he would be, in my opinion, a perfect guy to throw in that you're not going to get your hopes up that he's going to win. He can be very convincing and put on a great match, and you get everything you want, and then you can move on from there.
Is my man Logan Paul wrestling this weekend? Because I did catch on social this week that Patrick Mahomes, they were in Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes gave Paul his three Super Bowl rings, you know, allegedly. Logan Paul, who did Logan Paul end up knocking out? Was it Finn Balor?
It was J.D. McDonagh. Attacked Jey Uso as well, but yeah.
What do you think, first of all, about, were those Patrick Mahomes' real rings, or do you think like they replicated them up before he did that with Logan Paul?
I would hope they replicated them up. And I just want to say very quickly, when I saw Patrick Mahomes walk up, and I'm a Raiders fan through and through, so we don't fuck with the Chiefs, all right?
Right.
Under no circumstances. However, when I saw
Brock Bowers, baby.
That's right. And when I saw Patrick Mahomes, it felt a lot like Dennis Rodman on Monday Nitro like 30 years ago. Like that kind of like cool vibe. Although I would say Mahomes doesn't have nearly the charisma that a Dennis Rodman had back then. He's just a really talented athlete, and there's nothing wrong with that. He's very successful, but it felt like that kind of vibe. Like Raw felt like the place to be, the show to watch, and to have a top tier mega star like that on your show is a win all day. But I think that the rings definitely had to be fake, because I wouldn't put my real rings out there. Absolutely not.
Logan Paul, just not to go on a rant, but the guy's got everybody. He signed everybody to Prime. And now, Gary, I'll tell you what. I'm a fucking adult, and every time I'm in the store buying baseball cards, which is the only reason I go to Target and all these other stores, I'm like, should I try this Prime? Like, is this? I mean,
you haven't had it?
No. Am I missing out? Like, I mean,
it's just a Gatorade competitor, really. I mean, they do have an energy component as well, which I don't think is nearly as good as the hydration drink, which is the Gatorade competitor. I like the lemon lime, I like the tropical punch, and I like the lemonade. Those are like my three favorites. I would try one of those, and then maybe it could be a book report, if you will, and the next time we do a show, you can come on here and tell us what you thought.
You know what? I'll just do it on the show next time. I'll give you a live review. I like Lemon Lime, but I just feel like Logan Paul. Logan Paul has been an incredible marketer, man, with this Prime drink. And so to see Patrick Mahomes, and look, here's the thing, Patrick Mahomes, being a Raiders fan, we could talk about it. I know LeBron was back, you know, and they caught LeBron was back watching wrestling, you know, back in the day when he first came into the league. Like, Patrick Mahomes is the best of the best. Like, one of the biggest athletic superstars in the world. And he's casually involved in multiple scenes in WWE, you know, in Raw. Like, I feel like that's not, you know, you haven't seen Dan Marino or Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. Like, you never saw that John Elway. You never saw that all those years. And now the way that it's just bleeding into the mainstream, dude, it's not going to stop. It's only going to get bigger.
Yeah, I mean, the top two famous ones, well, actually, there's three. There was William Refrigerator Perry at WrestleMania 2. You had Walter Payton, SummerSlam 94.
Really? Walter Payton? And
yeah, wow. He was there. He didn't wrestle. He was in the corner of Razor Ramon. And because the whole thing was like Diesel would always interfere in Shawn Michaels' matches. So you had Walter Payton there as like the other guy to fend him off. Yeah, and then you had WrestleMania 11, Lawrence Taylor wrestling Bam Bam Bigelow. Those are like the three that stick out of my mind, like, you know, all the way.
And Pat Mahomes obviously is going to be stepping in the ring while, you know, he's in the middle of his $500 million contract with the Chiefs. But it's cool to see these guys, you know, chilling. Like, I like Logan Paul. I know it's cool to hate him and his brother and all that stuff, but I just think what he's bringing to the table, he's got, you know, I Show Speed, you know, tagging along with him. Like, he's trying to put other people on the map. So I like it all. Now, is he wrestling this weekend or is the title not on the line?
Yeah, so to answer your original question, it's him and Braun Strowman for the U.S. title.
Oh, and how in the... I saw Braun Strowman came back, which was very, very cool. How did you feel? Did you feel like we were missing Braun Strowman?
I don't know that we were missing him, but I will say when he talked shit to Patrick Mahomes, I did hear a little Raiders banter in there, which made me happy. I couldn't make out exactly what he said, so I hope somebody interviews him and finds out what he said, but he was definitely saying something about Raider Nation to Patrick Mahomes up in his face, and I'm all about that.
I don't know if you knew this, but Bray Wyatt's favorite team was the Raiders, so, and
that is true. Yeah.
I know him and Strowman were really good friends, so I don't know if Strowman, you know, adopted the Raiders or whatever. But now, how is this, Gary, how is this going to go down with Logan Paul and Strowman? It's going to be obviously, you know, a big guy, little guy, Strowman's coming back. I don't know if they're going to it's going to be an interference kind of deal and all that shit, because I don't think Logan Paul.
Probably brass knucks.
You think?
My guess. Yeah, yeah. Just some kind of like chicken shit heel, you know, knock him out with some brass knucks or some interference or a combination of both.
Is there anything else? Is there any other, we talked about the main event, any other matches that you're looking forward to this weekend?
Well, I mean, you have the IC title, Sami Zayn, Chad Gable, and Bronson Reed. That's a triple threat. I really am excited about that. You have...
They're not going to take that off Sami Zayn yet, are they? I mean, what's going on with Chad Gable? I heard that, you know, Kurt Angle's, you know, trying to say that he would come back and, you know, be a heel manager for Gable. I mean, I think that really is like the only thing you can do at this point. This seems like the last resort to get the guy over. If he loses again, you know, inflate, what do you do with him?
Yeah, I think you just have him, you figure out some other baby face to have him pick on personally. I mean, I really like the work he's been doing. I've been very impressed with them giving him a mic and letting him go. And I think he's really taken it as best as he could. So I think the Sami Zayn thing will end this weekend and then we're going to have Chad onto something else, but I hope that they don't just like quietly like tuck him away and we don't hear from him for a while, because he's been doing some good work the last few weeks. I want to give him his props on that.
Is there a 0% chance that they take the belt off Sami Zayn and then, you know, there's this feud between those guys? Or, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying there's no way Sami's losing.
Okay.
I'd be like blown away if they actually have him lose as soon.
Tell me about the draft. Where did everybody end up? You know, here's how I feel about it, Gary. I feel like when you start to get like in the later part of the year, I feel like everybody just starts showing up on every other show. Nobody talks about any exclusivity. You know, Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns are come on whenever they want to. Brock Lesnar. You know, like, so I feel like it loses its luster at one point. But with right now, with the way things are set up, where is everybody, and are you excited about it?
Well, I'm not. I have not been super excited about the draft just because, and I know people, like, whenever you complain about wrestling, they get weird. But, like, literally, most people stayed exactly where they were, dude. Like, it was like 85 to 90% people staying exactly where they were. And I know that if you move a bunch of people around, you got to create all these wild storylines. Yeah, I don't know. You have to be a little creative, if you will. But, most people stayed where they were, and it was like, I'm just looking at, like, okay, this guy, okay. Like, I mean, if I'm looking at the results here, just off the top of my head, I mean, Bron Breakker moving to Raw, he's a guy I'm excited about, you know, but like Carmelo Hayes, he went up to SmackDown. That's another guy that I'm excited about. But like, other than that, there's nothing that I really like blows my mind about this draft.
Did anybody get shifted to set up potential championship feuds down the road? Or did you see any of those where it's like, oh, wow, now, you know, Gunther's going to be able to go against, you know, this guy or whatever? There was really none of that.
There really, in my opinion, was none of that. I mean, you had Damage Control going over to Raw, so that'll be an all-new set of women for them to face. So that's fresh. I mean, I like that. The LWO, they went over to Raw. That's fresh to me.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Nakamura went over to SmackDown, so now we could get maybe a little bit more of Nakamura and Cody. I mean, I know we had that. They had at least three matches, but I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more of that.
Listen, yeah, so, that ends with Nakamura losing, you know, like, and I told you that he's one of my, you know, my all-time faves, and I'm hoping that Triple H will set him up for success. You know, we talked about not a lot of guys moving during the draft, so if they did move Shinsuke, I'm hoping they have something in mind for him, and it wasn't just, you know, to get him out of Raw.
Yeah, that's the issue you run into. It's like, it's cool to just move somebody, but, like, you got to have something specifically set for them. I mean, like, I did complain a little bit about hardly anybody moving, but what I will say, let me throw a compliment, though, also. I really like what they did with Drew McIntyre and CM Punk on Raw, like where CM Punk was in the box, then he was in the ring, and Drew McIntyre went all the way up to the luxury box to go find him, but he wasn't there, and they're talking all this shit. I mean, they did have some creative moments during the draft itself, but just as far as, like, movement, there was just not a ton of excitement because all the champions were ineligible. And that, to me, like, the champions represent your top guys. So that's like, okay, let's move somebody, but they're not eligible. And then Roman Reigns is not eligible. So it's like, okay, you're left with what we got.
When do you see Roman Reigns making a return?
I know I'm going to say SummerSlam.
And now you think he just shows up, or do you think that they start to pave the way for a match for him at SummerSlam?
I would like to see him. I mean, you've had Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga taking over the bloodline, essentially. So
that's,
I think,
weird, Gary. It's weird. I'll tell you what, it's weird. It's weird to see, you know, headliners, you know, the bloodline, and then, you know, to see these guys. It's just like, I don't know how much. I don't think they can. I don't know if they can be the bloodline without like Roman. Like, I don't think Solo can. Like, I don't think he can carry the bloodline. I just don't think he's built up enough to like be a main guy like that.
No, I think that's totally fair. But I mean, I do see some excitement in Solo as a main eventer. I think we're probably still another year away from him being like a tippy top guy. But I mean, I think if you set up Roman and Solo, I mean, to me, I'm excited for that. That is something where, you know, Solo had an incredible tear in NXT that seems like so far ago because he had debuted at last year's Clash of the Castle. And so it seems like his NXT days are so far behind us, but he had a good showing there. He's had a good showing on the main roster thus far. So if they can do enough between now and August, I think we could see some cool stuff there.
I mean, if he's going against Solo, I mean, then he's coming back as a babyface, right?
Yeah, I absolutely believe he will come back as a babyface, and he'll finally be cheered authentically, organically, and not the old man saying, "You will cheer this man," which ended up awfully for them. So
you know. It did not work when they were trying to force him down our throat years ago. But you know what? They saw the potential all along, and you know, Vince, the big pervert, and you know, they've erased him from wrestling forever, but you know, he stuck with it. Like, I didn't get it, man. Like, I didn't get Roman Reigns. Like, I didn't think he was a great wrestler. He obviously wasn't great on the mic back then. Like, I just thought he looked like any other guy. And they saw 10, 15 years down the road. And yeah, that's why they're in those positions.
Well, I think that, you know, I don't have a problem with them 10 years ago wanting to push him. That was, to me, was never the problem. The problem was they broke up the Shield. Seth had a new identity. Dean Ambrose, Jon Moxley, he had a new identity, and Roman came out to the same song. He still came out in the Shield gear. He never got a chance to develop this entirely new identity, and so you just had this bland, boring, smiling, you know, guy that just didn't have a ton of heat that you could sink your teeth into. And that, to me, was the problem all along. It was never that they wanted to push him to the top. I mean, look, Royal Rumble 2014, he went on a fucking tear in that match and looked amazing. So they just fucked it up with the booking, honestly. He's obviously proved he could be a main eventer, and he was. And he had the longest reign ever, and it was amazing.
Yeah, I'm still wondering what the thought was when they had him, you know, beat the shit out of The Undertaker at WrestleMania for an hour and a half, and, you know, for The Undertaker to fake retire, and, you know, Roman Reigns, that was probably the most, you know, heat that Roman Reigns ever had. Like, they didn't stop booing him, and he goes, "What, this is my yard now," and walked out. I mean, so
I was there at that Raw and WrestleMania, and it was, these people wanted to I don't want to say kill the guy, that's a little harsh, but they were like, they hated this man. Like, it was off the charts. Like, when he, that night after WrestleMania, when he just held the mic and he was like acting like he was going to talk, he put the mic up and they boo. He put the mic down, nothing. He put it back up, loud boos. And then when he said, "This is my yard now," I mean, it was crazy in that building, dude. Unbelievable.
You know what? People might not have loved Roman back then, but, you know, WWE, they were getting us invested in him. You know, either way, good or bad, like, they were developing layers to his character. As we sit here, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years later from that, you know, WrestleMania that was in Orlando, and just go, like, wow, look at how things have fucking changed. Yeah. Or, like, I'm looking forward to Roman Reigns coming back. You know, I don't know if Roman Reigns can be a babyface. I don't think he wants to be a babyface, but I think if he's going on his... if he's going on his last major run, you know, of a few years before he really drops back, you know, maybe they want to give him that Cena-like run. I just don't think that there's a lot of heels right now in WWE. So it'd be tough to take one of your biggest guys and flip him around all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, that's really why you need to have guys like Solo. Like, he's not there yet, but he could be there. And if you just if you make the right moves, and I know that they can do it, they've proven that they can build credibility and equity within guys. So let's get that going with Solo. Let's keep it rolling. Not that they haven't been doing it, but let's keep it rolling. Let's give him some good guys to just smash through and let him go on a tear. And I think he'll be just fine. I have no concern there.
All right. And now 1 p.m. France. We're looking forward to it. We're East Coast America. So that's when we will watch Backlash. Perfect time. Anything else with WWE right now? I know you also had a couple AEW notes.
Yeah, well, I just want to say before we move off of Backlash, like, the one match I'm really not excited for is Damian Priest and Jey Uso. Like, Jey Uso, to me, I don't want to say a flop. I think that's too harsh. But, like, after that WrestleMania match, I think he was exposed as far as, like, not being quite, like, the top guy that maybe people thought he was. Like, they were all invested.
Not being main event Jey Uso?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, people, like I had mentioned on the show a couple weeks ago, people were chanting his stuff. They were buying his merchandise like hotcakes. But he has not really been setting the world on fire after that match. And I don't know if maybe some of the negative criticism of that match has, like, knocked him down a peg. Maybe he's lost a little bit of confidence. But, I mean, I think there's potential there. But right now, he's just not setting the world on fire for me.
Yeah, you know what? I get that. And, you know, maybe that's why they're going to put him in the mix and, you know, put him at, you know, I mean, he's getting highlighted either way, you know, going up against Damian Priest. Again, I don't see him winning at all, you know, and hopefully they don't make him look bad. And hopefully the Usos don't start getting jobbed out. You'd like to see these guys back together sooner or later. You know, I don't know if they have plans for these guys to go on Ultimate singles runs, but I mean, is I don't even the tag team. I mean, are there even any tag teams anymore right now, or are they just take a break from tag teams? So,
well, you have the Bloodline is going to face Orton and Evan Owens, but that's not like a proper tag team. You know, it's not like AEW. Like, I could criticize AEW about 100 things, but tag teams is one thing you will not hear me criticize them about because I think they do that exceptionally well. So yeah, I think they could use a few more tag teams in WWE, honestly.
It feels awkward with Kevin Owens and Randy Orton being together, unless that's going to be an eventual turn. And then you got those guys going against each other at SummerSlam, which would be very, very cool.
Well, and the thing I'll say about Orton really quick is, like, what is this, like, obsession with putting him in a tag team? Like, I know he's at the end of his career. Well, I don't want to rush him out the door yet. I think he still has some time, but, like,
oh yeah, man, he's, like, awesome.
You know, Matt Riddle, Kevin Owens, like, it just seems like they just continuously throw him in a tag team. And I think he's a guy that you can heat him back up a little bit and put him in that main event world somewhere in the mix. Cody, that seems to me like a natural thing. I mean, they have history from Legacy, so we could play up on that eventually. I'm not saying let's rush into it tomorrow, but I think that, like, at some point we need to see, like, that definitive good, maybe last, Orton mega run. I'm not even saying he needs to be the champion, but, like, just something of substance instead of just, oh, he's in a tag team.
Yeah, no, he's got to be the champion. I mean, I think John Cena's one win away from, you know, I think breaking Ric Flair's record. I mean, I don't know I don't know how many Orton has, if they want to build him up, you know, more. I don't know what they want to do with that. All right, now, as far as AEW goes, you know, I talked about getting a lot of my stuff about wrestling on social media this week. I talked about seeing Patrick Mahomes and Logan Paul. I also saw Tony Khan get fake knocked out. I mean, what are we doing with this storyline, Gary? How did it play out? I saw a lot of people just making jokes and memes about it. Are people buying it this seriously? Like, just break it down for me.
Well, I think, like, the whole intention of it from Tony Khan's perspective was the draft was coming up, so they had the show in Jacksonville. He knew that NFL Films was going to be following him specifically that draft weekend. So the idea was, let's put me in a big angle so that I can create attention and awareness about AEW. The problem here is that, like, he's just not a good TV presence. Like, you know, look, the guy built an incredible company. He signed a ton of people. They have great matches. So, like, I'm trying to be limited in what I say negative about the guy, because I do think he does a lot of good stuff. And if not for him, we don't have that big company of competition where the men and women have a different place to work. However, when it comes to a TV presence, he just does not fit that. So having Jack Perry come out with that shit-eating grin, give him a hug, look at the camera, and just attack him. I think he hit him in the balls with a microphone, and Tony didn't even sell that very well. Then the Young Bucks come out. Young Bucks, you know, do their finisher on him, and that didn't look very good. And then you have, like, the referees coming out, like, yelling at them, and I thought this week this is the first time we've recorded on a Thursday, so Dynamite happened last night. I mean, the thing with Kenny Omega where they beat him down, that was much better than what happened with Tony Khan. But as far as like the overall, what do I think about the story? I think what they're doing, especially having last night, I really like the direction it's going. I think they're executing it well. I think it was a rocky start, but I do buy Jack Perry as a nice heel. And I think,
is the end game that Tony Khan's going to wrestle?
No, I hope God. I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Yeah. Okay. And listen, we'll talk about, you know, Tony Khan not being able to, you know, sell and look awkward and stuff. But, you know, Vince McMahon took some awkward, you know, Stone Cold stunners back in the day. I think as recently as just like a couple of years ago when Stone Cold came out and he like had to give him another stunner because he fucked up. So,
yeah, and it looked really bad.
Yeah, it looked really bad. So, you know, not all. Listen, Vince McMahon was not a good fucking actor at all. Like, he was so over the top and all. Yeah. He probably thought he was actually really good. So, yeah, Tony Khan could probably get a little bit better. But, you know, we touched on it, I think, the last time we did a pod. You talk about Tony Khan, great guy, did this, did all this stuff. But you also have to know when, you know, you can't do something or when people are more qualified or you have to delegate. You know, your Raiders, you know, wasn't Al Davis like meddling in the fucking players for, you know, for how long? Because he wanted all, you know, all these wide receivers that ran, you know, 4-2. And, you know, so it's like the owners that get involved. It's like you just got to let these people do their job. And I think the minute Tony Khan, you know, I don't know who that person is that you hire. I don't know who it is, but the second that you get somebody legitimate in that company and start booking it and handling it better and all that, like, I think that's going to, until that happens, like, I think that's going to, you know, hold them back from the next tier.
I don't have the guy's name in front of me, but they did just hire the guy who was doing the, what do you call that? The PBR, what is that? Like,
oh,
the
PBR, yeah. Bull riding?
Bull riding. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah.
They just hired that guy to do their like live events and promotions. So, you know, he did a lot for PBR. So we'll see what happens there in terms of like getting them out there. Some of the stuff we talked about in weeks prior where it's like, hey, they're not so strong at promoting locally in the towns in which they're going and moving more tickets. So I'm excited for this hire. Let's see what this guy can do. Let's turn him loose. But I agree. Tony definitely needs to hear from more people when it comes to the booking side of it. The talent, it's already taken care of. Great matches. We just need more story, and I think we'll be fine. And I do think that this elite running AEW thing is really good. And let's see where they take it throughout the summer, and we'll find out who is going to be that top star to combat them. Maybe like a Will Ospreay or a Swerve down the line that can go up against them and kind of defend the honor of AEW.
There's your AEW report. We talk about them both here, right here on this podcast that we're still trying to figure out the name of. Anything else, Gary, from the week of wrestling that I might have missed that you wanted to cover?
No, I really feel like those are kind of the top stories. And again, I'm just excited to see this pay-per-view on Saturday, just exclusively for Cody and AJ, because I think that they're just going to tear the house down.
Does it feel, I mean, I know we started off the podcast talking about that it felt a little flat for me, like, and you highlighted a couple matches, but it really seems like it's one of those just in between major pay-per-view shows where it's just kind of a get me through.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I do have a buddy of mine coming over to watch with me. So, you know, it's one of those like, hey, it's the middle of the afternoon. We don't have to stay up till 2 a.m. watching this damn show. But yeah, a lot of the matches will kind of just be there, and then we'll get the main event. It'll be awesome, and you know, we'll be good.
Hey, listen, we'll be done by freaking 4:30 if I know Triple H the way that I know Triple H. So I'm excited about that. Gary, thanks a lot, man. Great job.